We're back. This is Scott, your host on Sharing the Burden. We're live every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. on 102.9. That's Whistle FM in Stouffville, whistlefm.ca, I'm told. You can go to that, folks, anytime and listen to the not only our show, but listen to the station. A lot of good stuff going on there. And by the way, we repeat our shows every Sunday morning, 7 a.m., if anyone's up and looking for something to do. We also house all the recent shows on stbradio.ca or sharingtheburden.ca. You can find the last half dozen shows, and I think Sue's probably in that grouping two or three times. So if you like what she sounds like, you know where to go. And I know you're going to like the combination of her and Matthew. So, you know, we expect to see a lot of people go on there really shortly. Come Friday, we usually have this thing up on there. So, Sue, you had some thoughts before we broke.
Yeah, when you were asking about, you know, the first time you're using and you want to stop and how do you do that, and I kind of laughed inside because, you know, when I was living in the throes of my addiction, you know, and, you know, I thought I was managing my life quite well, you know, because it was constant effort on my part to continue to get high, make it look like I wasn't screwed up, and continue to try to manage paying bills and going to work and doing all those things. And I really thought I was okay. And, you know, it says very clearly that I'm full flight from reality. The life that I'm living seems normal to him. It seems normal. And, you know, as you know, the saddest thing about this disease of addiction is it tells me I don't have a disease. It tells me when I'm 110 pounds with an abscess in my arm that I got it going on and I look good. I look in the mirror and I look like crap, but it tells me I look okay. You know, that's the problem with my disease. I'm just such in denial when I'm living like that. And, you know, I always say the line, you either get humiliated or get humbled. I've been humiliated lots in my life through my disease. And when I was humiliated and I denied that humiliation that was, I was suffering from day in and day out as a direct result of my active addiction. And it was only until I became humbled, until I became broken, until I became emptied of myself, knowing that those efforts to try to control my circumstances and the outcome of my life while continuing to use, it was only when those stopped working for me that I surrendered. It was only when I became broken that I became willing to maybe, just maybe, know that I don't have it going on. And how on God's green earth am I ever going to get clean and get my life back? And, it's that moment of clarity. That's a beautiful place to be. I love it. It's called the gift of desperation. I've been there without the gift of desperation. Listen, I don't want to go to meetings. I don't want to work the steps. I don't want to go home at nighttime. I get home at 8:30 at night. By the time I put things in, do a step 10. I don't want to do those things. Prayer, that's a different story. I love God. I love God with all my heart. You know, my relationship with God is the most important thing. I have no problem praying. I have no problem meditating. You know, but it's important for me to pray and meditate together. It's important for me to clear out through step 10. So that I have a clear pathway to God. But I really don't want to do all that stuff for my, and I, selfishness, really. Do I want to spend a half an hour on the phone with another struggling addict when my meal is getting cold in front of me? Or I've got laundry to put on, or I, you know, personally, I don't really want to. But the reality of is when I get to do those things, I get to remain free from drinking and drugging, right?
And you're sharing the burden.
Well, and I'm sharing the, good segue. You know, for me, it's funny. My whole life, you know, I've always suffered from low self-esteem, felt like I wasn't worthy, wasn't good enough. Today, we'll get into the biblical truth. I don't want to get all churchy like I try not to do when I come on the show. But you know what? When I am able to contribute to another person's and say something and encourage them and they say, thank you, Sue, you really helped me. Holy cow. That's the best dope going. I want more of that, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting, and I gotta nail it right away. It's the wrong motivation, but it sure feels good.
Hey, whatever works, man.
No, exactly. Right. And it's beautiful.
I have to do it.
And when you receive, you know, what you actually desired, and you did it because you just knew what you were doing was right. You stayed on the phone, talked to your friend, the addict, who needed help now, regardless of whether the meal was getting cold and so on. And you did what is right. You know, like we talk about prayer and meditation, you know, especially in the 11th step. But my only real prayer, aside from, you know, thy will be done, and God, creator, whatever our belief is, that whatever that entity wants, that's what I want to know, and that's what I want to do. But now my prayer is pretty simple in that it's really, you know, please show me the next right thing to do, mm-hmm. and show me direction to do that thing mm-hmm. in this life of mine. And that's all I want to know. I don't want to know what's going to make me feel good. I don't want to know what's going to be the greatest help to a certain ethnicity group out there or anything like that. I just want to know that I'm doing the next right thing. And, you know, I want to hear at the end of the day, well done, good and faithful servant.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, and there, I just heard a song like that this morning, and I don't know what it is, but I've got to find it. These new headphones, you know, and listening to all this stuff. And, of course, they don't say what it is. They just play what I can hear. But it was basically about being able to serve that way. So, you want to go?
Well, yeah, sorry. My wheels are turning every time you say something. I apologize, Matthew. Every time you say something, my wheels are turning in my head and God kind of plants thing on my heart, you know. Yeah. Having to pray and say to God, you know, like, yeah, let me serve you and let me, help me to meet the people around me. And I am so amazed when you step out in obedience, when you're cleared away from the wreckage of your past, when you have a clear direct line, you're not blocked by any way from doing these 12, these 12 steps are miracle working steps. They change us. They change us. They transform us. What they do is take myself out and bring God in. But when I'm able to be really connected with God and walk in His will, it amazes me. It amazes me when I step out of obedience. I talk about obedience a lot. Step out of me. When God puts something on my heart and tells me to call another human being, reach out to somebody, do this, do that. When I do, and sometimes I think, Lord, why are you asking me to do this? Where do you want me to go? But when I do that, He just opens up doors that need to be open. When I think of the person ministry, it just blows me away.
Especially when you dreamt and saw
that blows me away. You know, I had a vision to, you know, God really pushed on my heart to get into that prison. He said, I don't need to, you need to go and tell the woman. He very specific what he wanted me to tell them. I mean, like, who does that? Here I am, somebody who's got a criminal record, wanting to go into that institution and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring the 12 steps. How was I going to do that? I'm nobody. I mean, it took a year and a half, but God opened those doors, and that just amazes me. And when I go to that prison on a snowstorm, I'm going to say this, like last week we went to the prison. I really didn't want to go to the prison last week. I'm going to be honest. It's a long drive from Pickering out to Milton, and then I had to go to work in Toronto. I really didn't want to do that. It's a little bit of a time frame for me. It's a little bit of effort, a little bit of gas. But, wow. I get to do that. I always get back in my car and I'm like, thank you, God. Because He put me there for a reason. He put me there because He knows I have something to bring those women. He knows I've walked where they've walked. I've done the things that they've done. My story can change people. My brokenness, my dirt, my inhumane behavior that I lived in for so many years. I'm a living testimony that I don't live like that today. People need to see that. So that just blows me away.
Yeah, and it's great and it's beautiful, and it's, I'm telling people all the time, the prison ministry is what I was meant to do for some reason, and I'm not sure, but I know.
How much time did you do that? I'm only joking, you, Scott.
On and off, not much, but anyway.
Only joking, Scott.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's okay.
You know, it's interesting. There's a couple things running through my mind as well.
Get them going, you're both speaking.
Yeah, about selfishness and self-centeredness again, right? Because I have sponsees, I have men that I work with in the program and other things that I do, and, I don't always want to go and meet with them, right? Because I'm selfish. However, you know, there's something that's really important for me. It's on, when I say the book today, when listening, I'm talking about the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and, more specifically on page 16 and 17. You know, about halfway down 16 and then the whole page on 17. And one of the things it talks about, it says that, you know, the feeling I get living in this program with the fellowship that will spring up around me is indescribably wonderful. Mm. Those are pretty powerful words, and I know them to be true for myself, because I don't want to do all the things that I do. However, when I do them, I find that it's what I needed all along. And it's an important distinction that I never knew before. And, you know, based on, you know, Sue, what you're talking about, and Scott, what you're talking about, what I get today that I thought I had before but didn't actually was a sense of purpose in life, right? So, you know, the future. To bring a little bit philosophical, in Western world over here, you know, we're at a bit of a disadvantage because everything's monetary. You know, I drive down the street and all of a sudden I see a billboard for a nicer car than what I have, and now all of a sudden I think I need that car, you know? But, and that changes my purpose. So, that was what my purpose was before recovery. My sponsor calls it sex and checks, right?
What?
Sex and checks. Money, women, cars, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Monetary stuff.
Okay.
And today,
paying for
you know, it's, but, you know, today it's, helping others and using my own experience as what you had mentioned, to benefit others, right? And the things that I've done and been through can benefit other people. And that's an amazing thing. And when I work with other people, the feeling that I get is indescribably wonderful. And if you haven't worked with anyone else, you know, you're missing out, because when you see the lights come on in somebody's eyes, or they tell you about their third step, or, you know, 9-step amends that they've made, it's you know, like, I'm feeling like I get kind of got some goosebumps right now as I just said that,
because you know what, I'm gonna bug you, because we get those goosebumps every time we go in these prisons. And you know, and this happens to me more than almost anyone, because I go into the men's prison out there quite regularly, into the max security area, and I get 8-10 guys in orange, and they put us all in a room like this. They lock the door and they go away.
Yeah,
it takes 4 or 5 guards to bring all those guys there, and then they
they
lock the door and
you.
They go away.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, I witnessed a full blown fight in there not too long ago. You know, and it was amazing, but feeling protected and safe. But anyway, long and the short of it is, every meeting, and I'm talking a lot of years now, every meeting I've done in those places, the guys come in, they don't seem to know what the heck's going on, they all go out lifted, every one of them, you know. And that's not me. I can't do any of that. I can't do that for myself. I'm just in total amazement how we're used in these programs, and, you know, and trying to explain to people, and the average person out there, all they think about is, well, is that safe? I mean, there is nothing more safe. I am precious, more precious than gold and silver in that room full of guys in orange. Anybody comes at me, they're dead men. You know what I mean? Far more than if they go at each other. So, I mean, it's the safest place in the world, and it's the most uplifting, satisfactory thing that I do in this life. So, yeah, purpose out of working with this crazy world of addiction. And 12 steps is God's way to draw people to spirituality, to himself, and to a purposeful life. You know, I don't care what anybody says. And, you know, agnostic 12-steppers or unbelievers, to me, it doesn't matter. I know how the results are achieved, even though I have nothing to do with it. I'm not in control. I'm totally powerless. I know when I go there, I'm going to leave like Sue said. I'm going to leave on a high that is not comparable to drugs, booze, rock and roll, sex, women, nothing, you know, altogether even. So, anyway, I think we're going to have to take a... Hold your thought, man.
Okay.
You're first on, I promise you. We got a song to describe who we're doing, what we're doing, how we're doing?
We sure do. Scott does. Well, we're talking about powerlessness, and here's a song that kind of turns it around. It's called Power to the People by John Lennon. We'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.